Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your continued grace and mercy in our lives and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you this morning, that you would speak to our hearts. God, that you would draw us closer to yourself, and Lord, that we would hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at what many might call the forgotten God, that is the Holy Spirit. You know, we hear about God oftentimes in general in the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible. We mostly know about God in Jesus Christ as it is written in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And from Jesus, we get a better idea of who God the Father is. Himself, as Jesus speaks about himself as doing and speaking only what God the Father has asked him to do or asked him to speak. That God the Father is completely revealed to the disciples and to us today through Jesus' words and actions. But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we are often at a loss to really understand his role in our lives. And so the Spirit becomes for many the forgotten God. A few weeks ago, we learned the Holy Spirit is truly God, divine, eternal, and distinct part of what we call the triune or three-in-one God. A couple of weeks we learned about that part of the Spirit's role in our lives is to help transform us into the image of Christ. And last week we learned that if we soften our hearts toward God, we can live lives full of the Spirit, or we can ignore and grieve the Holy Spirit. And this week we're going to look at how the Spirit helps us in our relationship with God the Father. Now, I was reminded the other day of coconuts and how they go through this process of growing. And at different stages, they offer different kinds of food for people. First, they grow in a tree, and at about 6 months, they look like this up on the screen. The outside of it, the husk is green, and at this stage, you can take that coconut and lop off the top of it, stick a straw in it, and have a cool, refreshing drink of coconut water. You could even scoop out the insides and eat that because it's soft and chewy. But then, as the coconut continues to mature, it will look like this. It will be turning to brown at about 12 months and considered a mature fruit. Now, this is not what you see when you go to the store, is it? No, this is what you see. The coconut we're familiar with has now formed on the inside of the husk, and inside of the inside layer of that coconut is a white nut material we call the meat and are most familiar with, which is often used in cooking or can be used in pastries or cakes. Now, for most of us, this is all we know of what the coconut is used for. Green coconut for coconut water and soft meat in 6 months. Then the hard-shelled coconut with very little liquid inside, but that hardened meat. But is this all that the coconut was designed for? If the coconut is left alone for a longer period of time, at the bottom center, it'll begin to germinate. You can see here it has sprouted and is beginning the process of becoming another coconut tree. And then on the left side, you can see here the outer brown husk and also the inner coconut. But this is what really amazed me as I was looking at this. If it was opened up further, we can see the seed of the coconut has formed inside, on the very inside of the coconut. Now, I thought about how God had created this particular tree, this particular fruit, and all of its beauty to grow in certain arid regions of the planet. Throughout the stages of the fruit, each has its use. And I thought how each stage designed by God fulfills its purpose. And in a sense, it points to God. It tells of its creator. It glorifies God by doing what it's supposed to do. Jesus came to earth in part to reveal just who God is. Jesus said a part of his purpose was to glorify his Father, along with a number of other tasks. One of those tasks was to gather people to himself so they could share with others the love of God, to help them to know and to help them to know how to come to the Father and to be in relationship with God. See, the disciples were entrusted with the message of Jesus to share it with as many people as they could. They were to help people know God's love. No, more than that. They were to help people know God and how to be in an ongoing relationship with God. And by doing this, they were pointing people to God. They were telling people of their Creator. They were glorifying God by doing what they were created to do, what God had intended for us to do. And this hasn't changed from the disciples' days. We are to point to God, to the Creator, to glorify God. This is what we were designed for. But the disciples probably anticipated they would still have Jesus with them to guide them and to empower them to do these things. Yet Jesus was clear to them, with them prior to his being arrested and killed. Jesus told them multiple times that he must go away. But going away doesn't mean abandoning the ones he had walked with for 3 years. Jesus goes on to say with them, read this with me. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. You see, as Jesus helped the disciples to grow in grace, love, and knowledge of God, this new advocate, this one that Jesus was sending, would help continue that process. The advocate was the name, the Spirit of Truth. Advocate has this understanding in Greek as one who is called alongside, especially to offer assistance as in a court proceeding. The one called to walk alongside. So the Holy Spirit is the one who would come and walk alongside of us, alongside of a believer, to offer assistance to the believer. It seems as if the Holy Spirit would continue to function, really in some regard, as Jesus had functioned in the disciples' lives. As Jesus came alongside the disciples to know God. As Jesus offered his assistance to the disciples to help them to love God. God would not let the disciples be left alone. Then Jesus continues by telling the disciples about this advocate who would be coming with them. Read it with me. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. Jesus says that the world cannot accept the advocate, the Spirit of Truth. Why? What does it say? Because they don't see him and they don't know him. Did you catch that? First, they can't see the Holy Spirit, so they cannot accept him. It's like that old adage, if I can't see it, if I can't touch it, if I can't taste it, if I can't, what's the next thing? Smell it? Then it doesn't exist. Right? That's why they put an odor in natural gas, so that you know it's there. And because the Holy Spirit does not meet this criteria, he does not seem to exist to people. But let me tell you a secret. We can't see the Holy Spirit either, can we? Has anyone seen the Holy Spirit? No. Should we not then accept the reality that the Spirit exists? No. Friends, this is one of those moments where we just trust Jesus at his word. That what he said he would do, he would do. And that there is an advocate for them My Father will send the Advocate in my name. The second part people wouldn't accept the Spirit is because they don't know Him. Because they don't know Him. These would be those who have not known Jesus, who is telling the people who God the Father is. The Father and I are one, Jesus would say. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. When we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Spirit too. Jesus says we, those who are Christ followers, already know the Spirit. Now listen closely. When the disciple Thomas asked Jesus to show him the Father, Jesus did say, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The same could be said of the Holy Spirit. Because we have seen and known Jesus, we know the Spirit of God. And Jesus affirms this by telling his disciples that you do know the Holy Spirit, for he lives in you, resides in you. Now we know the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the lives of those who what? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Although I don't remember knowing much about the Holy Spirit growing up, like many who went to church, I just knew that Jesus was my Savior and I believed in Jesus. And see, when I look back during those years, I would say that I was not really paying attention to God, or there was a period of time where I really didn't pay attention to God. You see, I was plotting my own course without asking God to guide me. I was looking to live my life, and you would never see me darken the door of a church. And if you asked me, I would have told you, sure, I'm a Christian. I believe. And when looking for God during those wandering days, I found the Spirit of God was helping me back to God the Father. When I look back, I can see the work of the Spirit drawing me back to Jesus. Sure, there were moments at that time when I would get into a situation, I'd say, God, I need your help. And that was all I was interacting with God with. For. Yet there were other times, for instance, when I look back at wanting to learn how to play the guitar. The only book I had was a songbook from camp that one of the other guitar players had given me to practice with. And as I learned to play some of these songs, I would sing songs of worship to God. I wasn't trying to worship God, mind you. I was trying to play the guitar. But the Spirit was using those songs to guide me into worship of God, to the worship of God, to learn or to teach me how to praise my Savior. Even though I didn't quite understand it then, the Holy Spirit continued to use that little songbook to draw me closer to God. And I know if you look back in your life, you'll see how the Spirit has moved, has spoken to you to draw you back to God, to bring you to this place where you are today. In our scripture lesson, Jesus continues to say to the disciples about the coming of the Advocate, the Holy One. Read it with me. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Do you see the two activities of the Holy Spirit here? The first is to teach, and the second is to remind people of all that Jesus has said. Tell me, do you think a child raised in an environment where there is no guidance, no rules, no discipline would become somebody who would fit well into society? Probably not. Probably not. Maybe if I put it this way, if a child is to succeed, do they need someone to help guide them, to teach them the ins and outs of how society works, to let them know when they are off course so that they can readjust their heading? Sure, they need that. This is the basic role of a parent and, in extension, teachers of all kinds. Without guidance, without teaching, without discipline, a person's life can become very chaotic, very difficult, And really, it's the same in our relationship with God. We need someone to lead us, to know and love God, to guide, to teach, and to discipline us. And that someone is the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing that Jesus did with his disciples. He guided them. He taught them. He disciplined them. And this advocate, the Holy Spirit, continues this with us today. And I believe the main avenue that the Spirit uses is God's Word. And when we're in the Scriptures, the Spirit comes alongside of us and leads us into all truth. Into all truth, teaching us about who God is, how great God's love is for us, and how we can be in relationship with God. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. The other role of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of everything that Jesus had taught or had said. And you know, when you're tempted to do something, something which is contrary to God's best for you, you have that maybe certain hesitation. Maybe you hear that still small voice in your mind or in your heart warning you to be careful. Maybe even not to proceed with your plans. Why? Because the Spirit is reminding you maybe of something that Jesus has said or something that you have heard that was truth. It's that still small voice of the Holy Spirit inside us, cautioning us, that maybe gives us that pause to stop, maybe even to turn from what it is we thought we were wanting to do. Maybe you were about to say something to someone that was not uplifting and you heard that. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe we're going to say something about someone that's not nice or appropriate, something that we wouldn't say to that person face to face. And just as we're about to say it, that should you really? Maybe we're about to look at something we shouldn't see or listen to something we shouldn't listen to or think about something like, I'm pretty good. Think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And we hear that still small voice saying, maybe you should turn away. You know that's not right. That's the Spirit speaking to our hearts. Or maybe we will hear that still small voice of the Spirit when we resist doing something God told us to do. And it's the Spirit nudging us forward to go ahead and do it. Take that step. Ask the Spirit to indwell in you more fully. Maybe there's something that God wants us to do, and the Spirit nudges us forward. We're told that we need to hold on tight to money, to our possessions, and even our time, and the Spirit says, loosen your grip on these things and begin to give generously to others. And you'll know true love. The Spirit nudges us to listen to the hurting, to get involved in something like Vacation Bible School or a missions project so that others might know God better. It's God's Spirit residing in us, pricking our hearts, reminding us to do or to not do something so that God might be glorified in our lives. Hear this well. The Holy Spirit will never teach us. The Holy Spirit will never remind us to do something or to believe in something that is contrary to the Word of God. So when someone says to you, it's a new thing that the Spirit is doing, we should be able to turn into the pages somewhere and see, yeah, that's God is working in this life and is doing a new thing. Or maybe someone is saying, it's okay to do this, and you feel the Spirit prick your heart, and you can't remember a time when you've ever read that, or that the Bible has ever condoned that action. You see, the Holy Spirit will never say something to us that is contrary to the Word of God. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. That's why we need to allow God's Word to come into our lives. so that when the Spirit speaks to us, He will lead us into all truth. Now, there is someone else that's trying to lead us away from God. And the father of lies would teach us to do things that are contrary to God's word. So we have God's Holy Spirit speaking to us. We have the Satan, the father of lies, speaking to us. And then we have ourselves speaking to us, right? Go ahead, do it. You deserve it. And then we've got the world saying, you know, you need to live life this way. You need to have more. You need to do these things so that you will be successful in the eyes of the world. And so we have to take all of those messages. And Paul says we have to look at those words and those voices. And we have to begin to say, is this from God? Yeah, this sounds like something God would tell me to do. Or, boy, this sounds contrary to what God would have me do. Maybe it's either the father of lies telling me to do something, or maybe it's the world saying I should be living life this way that I'm listening to. Or maybe it's my own voice inside my own head saying, you know what, you deserve a break today. Go ahead. So we have to manage all of this, sometimes noise that comes into our life. And we have to listen for the soft, still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. And we have to say yes to the Spirit and no to these other things. No to us, in fact, when we're contrary to what the Spirit would want us to do, right? Right. When we allow the Spirit in us to teach us or to reveal God to us, when we allow the Spirit to remind us of God's teachings, like the coconut whose existence plays out as God intended, when we give our lives to God and follow the Spirit inside of us, our lives will point to God. Our lives will speak to others about the great love of God. Our lives will glorify God. Like the coconut, we're all on a journey with the Spirit who will move us into maturity with God in Christ. The difference being that the coconut doesn't have a choice. The coconut just lives and does its thing. But the reality is we do have a choice. We will either ask for more of the Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, to be our advocate, to come alongside of us, to walk us into all truth, to glorify God. We will either do that, or we'll choose not to. You see, we can thwart the movement of the Holy Spirit who resides in all believers. We can still stop the Spirit from speaking into our lives. You see, what we need to do, what we really need to say in our lives is come, Spirit, come and reside in us. Fill us with more of You. What we really need to say is, come, Spirit, come and remind us of all that Jesus has taught us, what God's Word has said to us. What we really need to do is say, come, Spirit, come, when we begin to go astray from what Jesus taught us, and or to celebrate because we're walking in the light. Are you willing to ask for more of the Spirit of God in your life? It's a choice. You may not understand it fully, but it's a choice. Are you willing to ask God for more of the Spirit in your life? And then are you willing to be open to the leading of the Spirit? See, we can ask God for more, right? But then God says, okay, this is what I want. And you're like, I don't want it. So if you're going to ask for more of God, are you willing to follow the leading of the Spirit? Are you willing to follow the Spirit when you're reminded to do something or to not do something? It's up to you. God's already in you as believers. The Holy Spirit resides in you. Have you given Him a thimble full of room? Or have you given Him everything? Come, Spirit, come. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank You that Your love and grace extends to all. To all who have been created. That You desire that all people would come to know You. And Lord, that You desire all of us as Christians to develop deeper relationship with You. And we thank You that Your Holy Spirit helps us. Even when we are uncertain what You're doing, I know, Lord, I can trust You to continue to lead me to where You want me to be, to continue to grow me in my relationship with You, to continue to use me to help others to know You more. Almighty God, we thank You and praise You for Your love and grace and for sending Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.